Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Every week we come along here, and we're just so glad that we can come and worship with you and just cheer things up and encourage you along life's pathway. And you know, we have three things in mind with the Christian Worship Hour: honor the Lord Jesus, glorify God, and the second thing is win the sinners to Jesus. The people are lost in the sin. Those are going on the straight, on that wide, broad road to hell. Jesus talked about that. And we want them to turn and turn to Jesus, turn to the Savior. And the third thing we do is we want to comfort God's people. Oh, we read every letter we get. And some of you lost your spouse. Some of you lost your children. Some of you have great sorrow. Some of you are lonely. Some of you are really sick. Some of you are discouraged. So we want to encourage God's people like God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. That's what the Christian Worship Hour is all about. And then first I want to read some letters, and then we're going to have a sermon about I'm not afraid anymore. Not afraid anymore. But let's look at some of these letters, and thank you for writing. But here's a letter from Chowchilla, California. I was watching your Worship Hour on TV, and I'm a new Christian just starting, and I would like your help in getting started. I know I believe in Jesus and would like to learn more. And so, well, we've written to this dear a young lady and sent her materials, some Christian materials, to get her started in the Christian life. And then we have a little paper we put out called The New Song. And let me give you the address in just a minute. You can get your pencil ready. But it's The New Song, and what it is, it's a little Bible study every month. And then this month it's about pleasing God, honoring God. And then we have the sermon topics and the texts and all of the rest. So it's a wonderful little paper. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'd love to send you literature, and we've already sent literature to this dear lady. Here is one from Beach, North Dakota. I want to thank you for your service on Sunday mornings. I'm with you every Sunday. You had a statement that once you ask Jesus into your heart and ask for forgiveness, your sins are forgiven. I, too, feel guilty about my past sins and have asked Jesus to forgive me. I'm like the lady, it seems like I have to ask over and over again. After listening to you, I know I don't have to feel so much. I can feel at peace now having asked him in a single time. And that's it. Sometimes people, they just ask him every time they pray, ask him to forgive their sins. Well, now you ask him once to forgive your sins, but if they are daily sins, as we're going along, we lose our temper, we say a bad word, we have an evil thought, we need to confess those every day, because that affects our fellowship with the Lord. But as far as eternal soul, our soul is concerned, those sins are settled and our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're on your way to heaven. But if you want fellowship with the Lord, then you have to have daily cleansing, daily washing, just like you wash your face every day, maybe more so, I don't know. Cherokee, Iowa. Dear Christian Worship Hour, I want to thank you for your program that I started watching about 1 year ago. I have to tell you that the message from the Lord that you put out for us all who watch on TVs has been the best thing that happened in my life. It has opened my mind and faith once again. Well, praise the Lord. You know why it's such a wonderful program? Use the Bible. We're just preaching the Bible. So it can't go wrong. See, it's got to bless you. And I want to tell you a little secret. When you preach the Word of God, you can preach with authority. You don't say it might be or it could be or you, I don't know what will happen or not. You say, thus saith the Lord, bang, that's it. No appeal, no discussion. This comes from God, gives you authority. Boy, I like to preach that way. Here is Galena, Missouri. When we see, oh, listen to here. When we see Pastor Salem teaching the Word of God at 94 years of age, we all know we have to get out of the bleachers and into the game. God bless you all. Well, I know some of you know I spent just about a year ago, I spent a year in a nursing home in a wheelchair. And I couldn't get into anybody's game with that wheelchair. So some of you can't get about or do anything, but you can pray and you can witness. But there's some of you able-bodied, you're out there hitting that golf ball. You ought to be helping somebody mow their lawn or do their windows and work for the Lord and witness for the Lord and help people. That's what he's talking about. Get out of the bleachers. I'm 94 and look at me struggle along. You say, well, you don't do very good. Yeah, that's all right. I knew that before you told me. But I'm having a good time. God's blessing it. So what more do you want? Here's one more. Memphis, Tennessee. My nephew committed suicide June 20, 2015. He was 30 years old. Can I get an article on it? If a person committed suicide, can he go to heaven? And so she's talking about a little booklet that we have. It's 10 pages, and it has 8 different scriptures on a Christian. Now, this is a Christian. If you know Jesus and you commit suicide, your soul is safe. You'll never lose your soul. And so you can write to us, and you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can send us a gift to help us in the work, whatever you can send. If you don't have anything, we get letters from prisons and they don't have any money, we send them anyway. It's a 10-page little booklet, and it talks about giving assurance. If you know Jesus and you commit suicide, you still belong to the Lord. And you're going to be with him in heaven. I love to preach the wonderful hope we have in Jesus. But let's look at our sermon for today. And it's entitled, I'm Not Afraid Anymore. And of course, when you first talk about this, you think about dying. And I remember when I was a child, I was afraid of death. I didn't want anything to do with funerals. And I don't think I went to funerals when I was a child. I don't ever remember it. I think the first time was when we were in high school, when one of our classmates died. But I didn't like death. I didn't like to talk about it. Now, some people are like that. They never go to funerals, and they never talk about death, and they never think about death, and they're scared to death of death. And so when I say I'm not afraid of death anymore, I'm not afraid of dying anymore, they says, well, what's wrong with him? What goes with him? Well, I'm going to tell you the secret. It is this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has conquered death. Listen to what he has to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul sums it up. He says, Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so he's saying, take heart, because Jesus Christ has conquered death, and you don't have to fear death. Even before Jesus was born, David talks about that. And he talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I'm not afraid to die. And you say, David, why aren't you afraid to die? And he tells us, he says, because thou art with me, Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't know Jesus Christ like we do, but he knew God as a good shepherd, kind shepherd that watches over him. And when Jesus came in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. David says, I just talked about God as a shepherd. And I says, Jesus is that shepherd. He says, I have to go through this valley. You know, there's a lot of valleys in life. There's the valley of sickness. And many of God's people walk in this valley. And we get letters every week from some of you that are going through hard times, the valleys of sickness. And I want to tell you something. We read every letter we get. And so you write to us. And if you have a question, I'll try to answer every question you give us. And so we go through that valley. He's with us there. There's the valley of financial loss and ruin. Maybe the drought takes all our money. Maybe the stock market. Maybe it's a bad business venture. Maybe you go broke and you go bankrupt. And that's a hard, bitter time. But Jesus will be with you. And he'll help you through it and take you through it. There's the valley of disgrace and dishonor. People fall into temptation. They do some terrible sins, and it brings disgrace and scorn upon them and their loved ones. But the good shepherd can lead you out of that valley. And maybe you've drifted away from the Lord, and maybe you're deep in sin today. Get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. He'll help you through it. He'll bring you back. You'll have that wonderful Lord to walk with. There's the valley of old age. I'm in that valley now. And ageism, I'm going to tell you, they don't have much time for old people in most places. And when you drive a car, and when I drive, they're looking at me, and what's that old guy doing behind that wheel? Well, I'm a better driver than most of them. So don't worry about me. But there's age. See, they say, I don't get out of the way. Let somebody else do that. There's the valley of bereavement. The closest on earth is taken away. The despair of life. When we just despair of life, like David, he said it that when Solomon died. My son Absalom, he said, not Solomon, Absalom. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee. But the good shepherd comforts us, and he comforted David, and he'll comfort you. Lean on Jesus. He loves you. Trust Jesus. And then there's the last valley, and that valley of death, when we cross over, when we pass out of this world, and then we never worry either, because he says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And he loves us and he cares for me. I remember that I didn't understand anything about this death thing, because when we were young, we were taught memory verses. And one of the memory verses I had was, where Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11:25-26. And I used to say that, never die, and there'd be a funeral. And I says, what if they never die? How come we're having a funeral? And the reason is that I didn't understand what death was. You know what death is? Well, let me tell you what death is. First of all, look at the composition of people, of man. We are made up of a spirit, a body, and a soul. That's what St. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray the God of your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. So there's the composition of man, a body, a spirit, and a soul. And the spirit and the soul live in the body. And sometimes people call it, St. Paul calls it a tabernacle or a tent. It's a flimsy thing. Could go down any time. That eternal soul and spirit is there, and that spirit will never die. It'll always be in heaven or in hell. And so here's how it happened. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. There he has his body. He makes it from the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And there we have our life comes from God, and that life is the spirit and the soul. And that life is given, that spirit and soul is given to us at the time of conception. At the time of conception, that little body has, that person has DNA. And they talk about it being tissue. That's a person. And it's a person because he has a spirit and a soul and a body that is forming. And so God tells us, He formed us and he made us. And so when we do it, when we die, it simply means that with body, our spirit and soul leaves the body. That's all in the world it means. It doesn't mean the spirit and the soul die. It doesn't mean that at all. That goes on. Well, look at here. Look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Jesus is on the cross. He's about to die. This is what we read. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up his spirit. And when he gave up his spirit, he died. When my wife gave up her spirit and soul and God took her home, she died. That's exactly what it is. And he gave up his spirit. He breathed his last and there he's gone. So the body goes back to the earth from whence it came, but the spirit and soul live on forever with God in heaven or with the devil in hell. And that depends on what you do because you get to make the decision where you're going to go. You see, Jesus, you see this beautiful thing takes place in Luke chapter 8. And a man named Jairus comes and his little girl's 12 years old and she's died. And he asked her to ask Jesus to come and give her life. And Jesus goes into the death chamber. And we're told in Luke 8, verses 55 and 56, Jesus took her by the hand and called her, saying, Maid, arise. Now listen. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. Her spirit came back. When her spirit left, she is dead. When the spirit comes back, she's alive. That's exactly what we're talking about. So what is death? Death simply means it is when the spirit and soul leave the body. And so when Jesus says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, he is saying, when you accept me, that eternal soul is going to live forever. It's going to live in heaven or it's going to live in hell. It's never going to stop to be in. And your body will go back to the dust, but he'll raise it up in the resurrection at the last time. The righteous and the unrighteous will be raised up, and spirit, soul, and body will be in heaven or in hell. And so Jesus, that's what happened to me 84 years ago. I asked Jesus if he'd save me. I asked him if he'd come into my life. And he gave me eternal life, and I've been alive, and I have that eternal life. And that eternal life is here on earth for 84 years. It's been on earth. Pretty soon it's going to go. And all it'll do, it won't die, it won't cease. That spirit and soul is here on earth in my body. When I die, it'll just go on up into heaven, never die. And when Jesus says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, that's exactly precisely it. We will never die. Like one old pastor said, I'm going to die, then I'm going to live forever. That's exactly right. He had it right. Listen to Jesus. He's telling us that his salvation is through him. He says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So there you are. That soul is going to be in heaven or in hell. And we decide if we want it where we want it. And if we want it in heaven, we believe. If we want it in hell, we don't believe. We reject him. That's all there is to it. It isn't so hard. And so when you have Jesus, you don't need to fear death. You can trust Jesus and love Jesus. And so this wonderful Jesus makes me so I'm not afraid of death. And I'm not afraid of what's going to happen, what's going to happen beyond the grave. I've never been there. Some people die and come back again. I don't know. Maybe they do. God can do anything, but who cares? I know God will take me. He'll be there, and he'll be watching with me, and I don't have to worry about the future. What lies beyond the grave? Oh, you know, the pharaohs of Egypt, they thought that they would live afterwards, after death. And so they had these beautiful funerals, and they had a little young king called Tutankhamun. And when they found his burial place in 1922, he had a solid gold coffin that weighed 2,500 pounds solid gold. Because they thought that mummy, that body, and according to the Museum of Art in Switzerland, that is that all of the treasure in the burial chamber for that young King Tut was over almost a billion, three quarters of a billion dollars. And why? Because they didn't know the future and they're planning for the future. Well, what about these poor people, these thousands and millions of people? Well, who cares? The Pharaoh, he's going to take care of his soul. And you take care of your soul when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. To have the Lord Jesus Christ simply means that I never have to worry about whether when I die. And he says that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And so Jesus says, now if you come to me and you trust in me, then I'll give you everlasting life. Listen to what he says in John 5:24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you've heard it, and believeth on him that sent me, hath. Present tense, right the minute. You don't wait to get to heaven to find out. And it's not a process or anything else. It's a birth. Just like a birth is a moment, a few moments, and that birth is over. And that new birth is the same thing one time. And when we accept Jesus, here it is. He says, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, as he won't go into hell. He's passed from death unto life because we're dead in our sins and we're on the way to hell. But when we accept Jesus, precious Jesus who paid for all of our sins on the cross, and his precious blood washes away all our sin, the precious blood of Christ washes all away our sins, then we have that eternal life and we'll be with him in heaven. You got to have Jesus. And that's what we keep telling people over and over. Listen to the Lord. And open your heart to Jesus. And he says that I'm at your door. It says in John, as many as received him, as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Now you're not a child of God. You become a child of God when you receive Jesus. If you haven't received Jesus, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. God, that's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Your father is the devil. Because you're either with Christ or with the devil. You're with Jesus or you're with the devil. There's no in between. And so when he says, as many as received him, you say, well, how do you receive him? I talked to a man not too long ago. He didn't know any more about praying than he knew about flying to the moon. And I explained to him about you just pray. He's dying. He's in a nursing home. He's dying. And I'm telling him you need to have Jesus. And just ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sins and you go to heaven. And he prayed in his own words. Ask Jesus, just say, please, I'm sorry for the sins I committed. And then he surprised me. He says, and the sins that I didn't know I committed. And he prayed that prayer. And then you know what he did? He didn't say amen. He didn't know he was supposed to say amen. He said goodbye. That's fine. That's all amen is anyway, goodbye. And that's what you need to do in your own words. Don't make it tough. God is so that little children can do that. And then when we do that, he'll give us eternal life and we will never perish. He says in John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. That is, they won't never go to hell. They shall, and he says, and I'll hold them in my hand. And he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'll hold you. We don't hold on to Jesus. My grip, I might slip. I might let him go. I might just look for a minute and forget or loosen up and let go. Jesus holds me. And that gives me great joy and gives me peace because I know I'm safe. And if I make a blunder, if I commit a sin, he holds me. And then, he goes on to the next verse, and he says, my Father gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus holds me, and then Father in heaven holds Jesus. And that's how secure you are. Don't pass that up. That's what the Christian worship hour is all about. We're here just every week, over and over, with an evangelistic thrust to it. That is, you got to be born again. Jesus said that. and you'll never be born again until you accept Jesus. And when you do, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. John tells us in the first epistle, first chapter, in the 9th verse, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of our sins. I have people tell me, you don't know the terrible sins I committed. I committed sins against light. I committed terrible sins. God will never forgive me. And God says, listen to me in Isaiah. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My dad always had wool, sheep. And when those sheep, they're all scruddy and dirty. But when you shear them, they're white and clean and the lanolin. And that's what he's talking about. All those sins will be taken away and it'll wash away your sins. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour because we need to have your help. But if you need some scripture, we'll send that. But we need to have your help financially. And so you need to write to us. If you think this is something of the Lord, you need to stand by and you can't wait because we can't wait. When the bills come due, we got to pay them. So you can help us by writing to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to send it by email, then you can just do this. Get it at ChristianWorshipHour.com. That's all. And on there that says donate, that means you're going to give something. Punch donate. And then it'll say PayPal, and you pay your pals. And we'll preach, and you pay, and we'll praise the Lord. And we'll go as long as he lets us go. Now I want to pray for you, especially for the shut-ins. Heavenly Father, I pray that multitudes will turn to you and receive you right now. And then I pray for those, Lord, who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut in, those who can't even get out of the bed or out of a wheelchair, and help them to know that you love them and you understand exactly what they're going through. And there's a purpose and a reason for where they're at. And so help them to love you and pray and to shine for you and to talk to you and rejoice in you and to know that someday you're going to come and take us all together. Maybe this week you'll take us all together in heaven. And so just help them rejoice and know. And those that are lonely and have nobody to call on them, help them to know that there you are helping them. And then, Lord, we want to pray for those people in South Africa that are suffering under the hand of their persecutor, and bless them, and those that are left behind, encourage them. And then we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you all for letting us worship with you today. We just love coming into your home. I love to preach because there's hope. There's always hope. There's always a second chance. It's the land of beginning again. You can always start over. And don't despair of life. Come to Jesus. And then you write to us. We got it on the screen there right now. You write to us and we'll send you scriptures and we'll send you some, whatever you need to help you get you started. If you have questions, we'll try to answer it. But whatever it is, just think about us, pray for us, we'll pray for you. And wouldn't it be something if Jesus would come this week? Wouldn't that be something? It might be. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.